the Award Podcast is brought to you by Naked City Brewery.
Hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 195 in what has now officially become a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Yes, indeed, folks, we've got a great show planned for you this week. We've got a ton of stuff to get to. Here in the intro, too. So you guys got to bear with me. We've got a bevy of emails to get to. We've got this great thing happening at Naked City Brewery, our wonderful, wonderful sponsors that we need to tell you about. We've got a giveaway. We've got a giveaway going on right now for free download. Free download of Because the Internet by Donald Glover, a.k.a. Childish Gambino, all that, and many more. What? God dang it. Yeah, we've got a ton of stuff. Ton of stuff, folks. It's going to be a great episode. We're also talking to Chaprice, the very beautiful, very talented singer from here in Seattle. Is going to be joining us here in the backyard. I had the pleasure of sitting down with her yesterday. What was that? Saturday. So maybe 2 days ago, once you hear this. And she's just a lovely, lovely person. And I can't wait for you guys to hear it. Can't wait Can't wait to share her music with you as well. Whoa. Let's get into it, shall we? We're doing this giveaway, people. Like I said before, Childish Gambino. I was super excited. We were given the opportunity to talk to Donald Glover, and it ultimately fell through. Don't get too excited. And so instead of having him on, his PR people sent us a bunch of download cards for the full album Because the Internet. And so what we're doing right now, we're doing a little promotional giveaway to drive some more traffic to our Twitter and to our Facebook. Because we love the attention, right? Or I love the attention. That's right. Yeah. So it's very simple, people. All you have to do is like Air Raid on Facebook or follow us on Twitter and RT the tweet on Twitter as well, if you could. Send it out to all the people that may be into winning for free. Full download, full digital download of Because the Internet by Childish Gambino. Super easy, right? Just like us on Facebook. You can find the link on our website, www.air-raid.net, or follow us on Twitter. It's that easy, folks. And then we'll choose a bunch of winners randomly on May 10th. That's also the day that he will be playing the Paramount here in Seattle, Washington. So get your tickets to that as well. Probably going to sell out, I would imagine. So that's what we're going to do. Childish Gambino, full album giveaway, people. And then we'll contact everybody randomly. We will pick people at random and contact you and send you your stuff. So there you go. Do it. Right? Let's get to this. We have got, you know what? We've been starting to get more emails. We usually, you know, it goes through fits and spurts here, our emails that we receive. But we've got a bunch that we need to get to. I've been saying that we're going to get to them, and here we go, right? In the interest of keeping the intro short, we're just going to power through these, okay? And these come from a bunch of good listeners who wanted to contact us. So that's awesome. First one here. To whoever reads these, I just listened to your Air Raid Live episode and was so happy to hear it was such a success. I have been listening to your show for about 6 months now and am working my way through all 192 episodes. See, it is. It's old one. This is a couple episodes old. Thank you so much for the free entertainment. I absolutely love the show and the format, but have you thought about doing segments / trivia in the normal episodes? I think it would be a great addition. Anyway, even you don't, left out a word there. Even if you don't, I still love it. Hopefully, I will be back in Seattle for your next live show. This is semi-new listener Christine from Buchel Air Base in Germany. Man, that's awesome. I would love, hey, Christine, thank you so much for the email. Let's see, on that subject, doing segments / trivia in normal episodes. We, once you make it back, Christine, to the older episodes, we tried to do that kind of stuff, like segments and things like that, news and all that cool stuff. But I'm just not good at it. I'm not good at as you're probably well aware of, I'm not good at follow through, nor am I good at preparing for this show in general. So having stuff all lined up is not in my forte. And I chose to make that change a long time ago and not do segments / fun things. just talk to people. Just sit down and talk to people. So I hope that explains that. Good suggestion, though. Thank you very much. This next one, Aaron. Hey, Aaron, just wanted to let you know that your podcast is wonderful. I hear you sometimes say that you get hate mail from some of your interviews, and that is just dumb. You know what? I agree with you. I agree with you, listener. I think all of your shows have a unique spin on your individual guest stories. I find each one interesting and informative, and not to mention a great way to find out about some awesome music that I would never have heard of if it wasn't for your show. Keep up the great work, listener Owen in Eureka, California. Thank you, sir. Thank you, listener Owen. Yeah, we get hate mail sometimes. Namely from, it's not like fans of the show that email me hate mail. It's more of like fans from like, you know, some of the guests that we've had on. Let's see, I got a bad message after we did the Mud Honey episode with Mark Arm. Guy wasn't very happy with how I conducted that interview. He wanted it to go more in depth into some, you know, darker territory. However, you know, what I would say to those people, if you have a problem with the interview, you know, start a podcast by yourself and sit down with some of your heroes and then find, see how it is trying to talk to them about their deepest, darkest secrets. It's not the easiest thing to do in the world, especially when you venerate somebody, right? Sometimes it's harder, and sometimes people just don't want to talk about that kind of stuff. We do have a little bit of a pre-show session or sit down with most of the people that come on this show, and I do go over some stuff. I ask them questions, and I say, hey, look, you know, if we're ever getting into territory, you give me the territory that you don't want to talk about. Just give me the, you know, shut it down sign, we will, you know, take that stuff off of the show. And that has happened many times, to tell you the truth. It does happen. People don't want to talk about some stuff with a stranger, you know? I mean, I'm not friends with all these people, right? I mean, I know them. I would say we're probably acquaintances now. Sometimes people just don't want to talk about that stuff. So, thank you so much, listener Owen, Eureka, California. Let's see. Greetings and salutations. This is the next one, folks, by the way. I wanted to let you know how much I enjoyed Air Raid Live. Oh, thank you. Thank you. So much fun. It was a complete success. You looked great, seemed relaxed, and everyone was having a blast. The guests were hilarious and totally adorable. I dragged along a friend who had never heard your pod, and he had a fantastic time. He actually was such a fan of Shelby Earle that he bought her stuff the next day. Naked City's Bear in the Palm Pale Ale was sublime. I regret not taking a growler to go. Next time, hopefully, my chariot won't turn into a pumpkin at midnight. Keep up your great work. Rock out, lovely listener, Sarah. Oh, we love Sarah here. Man, she always sends great emails. Whenever we're feeling down or whenever I'm feeling down, I don't know why I keep on saying we. But whenever I'm feeling down and I mention that on the show, Sarah always brightens my day with an awesome email message. Thank you so much for coming to the show, Sarah. It was great to see you again. Let's see. Next one. Dearest Air Bear. I swear to God, we're almost done with the emails, guys. Dearest Air Bear. This one threw me for a loop. I don't know if I've ever mentioned that my nickname growing up from my dad was Air Bear. Have I said that before? Is that like a normal thing for errands? Maybe it is. I don't know. It rhymes, right? Dearest Air Bear, wanted to chime in on the debate over whether or not you should spend less time yapping, quote unquote, during the intro. Sometimes it is very obvious that you have not fully planned what you hope to talk about during the monologue. Might I suggest that if you find yourself in this predicament, that you abstain from running too long? Great point. Yes, yes, that's what we're trying to do, although it's not working in this episode so far. They can sometimes come across as boring and a jumble of less than thought out ideas. This may not come across to you as constructive criticism, but I assure you, I do love the show and just want to see you and the show succeed at finding a larger audience. I hope this helps. Listener E. Well, Listener E, thank you so much. I did take that as constructive criticism because, yes, that is something that we have gotten some emails on, some less constructive than yours, sir or ma'am. I don't know, Listener E, what you might be, but nor do we know where you came from. So, you know, if you're going to email us, tell us where you come from. It's always a great thing to see. Yes, Listener E, thank you for the constructive criticism. I did find it constructive, and I'm working on it. I am working on that. Okay, next one and last email of the episode. Hey, Air Raid, just a suggestion. You should read your emails on the show. Love the show. Listener Fletcher here in Seattle, Washington. Fletcher, I believe we've met before. Thank you so much. And yes, here I am reading your email on the show. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening. If you would like to get in contact with the Air Raid podcast or just shoot me an email, you can do so at Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, at air-raid.net, or you can find us on Facebook and or Twitter at Air Raid Net. Super easy. And remember the giveaway, man, if you follow us on Twitter or like us on Facebook, you're automatically entered into win. And people that have already done so in the past, you are already automatically entered into this contest as well. So don't worry about that, okay? All right, let's do this. Oh, man, we get sponsorship from Naked City Brewery. Did you know that? I think we've mentioned that before a few times. They're nice enough to drop us a couple bucks every month to keep this show running, which really does come in handy, guys. Let me tell you. And they're doing this new thing. It's called Naked Sessions Concert Series. Every song tells a story. And they are going to do their first one with the band Big Sur, 8 p.m. Saturday, March or May 17th. Sorry, doors at 7 p.m. It's only $10. You can get them at brownpapertickets.com. And they're going to have some bands play in there, man. Star Anna coming up June 28th, same time, same price. And then Spoonshine Saturday, July 19th, same time, same place as well. The screening room at Naked City Brewery and Tap House, located there at 8564 Greenwood Avenue North, Seattle, Washington. That's where we did our live show. Obviously, people had a great time. You remember lovely listener Sarah's email, right? Yeah, it was awesome. This place is great, and it's great for this type of thing, too. So the naked session, man, that's cool, man. Live music in a brewery. Can't go wrong with great food, great beer. Check them out, nakedcitybrewery.com. Hey, or nakedcitybrewing.com, I should say. Yeah, and, you know, they're nice enough to sponsor this here show, so we want to send you there as well. So make sure, you know, go like them on Facebook. Do the same thing. Like them on Facebook. Follow them on Twitter. Tell them that we sent you there because they need to know that this is making a difference, right? So that would be fantastic, people. Yeah. Let's see. Let's get down to it, shall we? We've been rambling long enough. I got one more plug, though. One more plug, people. the one that we do every episode. Let's see. Go and visit the archives page to see and hear. Let's see, all of our past 195 episodes. Man, coming up on 200 real quick, guys, real quick. But we've got all the episodes, all the past episodes there at www.air-raid.net with people like Bob Saget, Macklemore, Mud Honey, Chris Walla from Death Cab for Cutie, Presidents of the United States of America, John Roderick. Let's see, who else? Who else is up there? Let's see, gosh, Paul Scheer, Jason Mantzoukas from the show The League. All sorts of stuff, guys. Eddie Pepitone. Jim Brewer from Saturday Night Live. I mean, come on. Come on. Jesse Thorne. Yeah, he's there too. He's there too. David Bazan. All sorts of great, great stuff with new music for you that you may never have heard of. It's just a lot of fun. So go there. Check it out. Check out the archives. www.air-raid.net. All right. Did I go on long enough? I think I did. Let's see. First musical break. This song is called Tell Me by the wonderfully talented Chaprice, who's going to be joining us after this song here in the backyard. So, this song is called Tell Me. We'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Stay with us, everybody. She was nothing like the girl you once knew.
Occasional crackhead's okay because it's kind of like, oh, there's, you know,
yeah,
oh,
it's
there's
like,
Jimmy again. We know him. Like,
make sure you took your phone out of your car.
Yeah, like, okay, yeah, we know yeah.
Jimmy's back.
Oh, hey, Jimmy. Yeah, but I'm not a fan of the prostitutes. They're quite aggressive, and they also aren't very partial, you know, to
family life.
Yeah, they don't really care about that.
Not at all. I did find, like, when we were moving out of our old place, I was down because I was constantly cleaning up like the sidewalk to make the place look nice, mm-hmm. you know, the building to make it easier to sell. And I've told this story before, probably way too many times, but I'm going to tell it again.
I've never heard it. So it's the first time.
Yeah, perfect. Right. Yeah. It's just us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found this little like Crown Royal bag in our bush.
Oh no.
And I opened
it
up and it had a crack pipe in it and there was some residue left.
Fun.
And I was like, I literally like thought to myself, I was like, well, you could try it.
Did you?
No.
Oh,
no,
damn.
No,
I was waiting for the second part of the story.
And kind of the only reason that I didn't was like, well, this person could have like
hepatitis
that's or something like that. Yeah. Like I could get something worse than just, you know,
high for
a 10 minute crack.
I don't know
high.
How long it lasts.
It's about like 10 minutes.
Oh,
I think.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Learn something new.
Now you know.
Now I know.
Yeah. Star with rainbow.
Yeah.
The more you know.
10 minutes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Anyways.
Chaprice joining me.
Right.
Chaprice joining me in the backyard. Welcome.
Hello.
Yeah. I'm very excited to have you in here because normally we don't have like a lot of like we do have a lot of singer-songwriters, but none with a voice like yours.
Oh. Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, not like you're more like R&B, soul, you know, maybe, you know, with some hip hop thrown in there.
Mm-hmm.
We don't do a lot of that. I don't know if you noticed this, but I am very white.
I didn't know until you just told me.
You don't see color.
No, I don't. Oh, okay. You were just like a blur there with Ray-Bans on. And I was like, ooh.
I love it. We're getting along splendidly so far. This is great. But yeah, we don't have a lot of like people with your voice or style on this show, and I'm trying to branch out. And when I heard your stuff, I was super excited and wanted to get you on here because your stuff is beautiful. It's
Thank
great.
You. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
I'm a big fan now.
I appreciate it. I really appreciate you having me out. As I've told you before, I've never done a podcast before, so I'm really thrilled that this is kind of a mutual first experience.
A first time for everything. Yeah. Once again. Yeah.
So
first time for finding a crack pipe.
Yeah, we've
covered that.
But now you have to, you know, go through the second part. So once you figure out what the high is actually like, then report back so that I can live vicariously through
I'll tell you, best 10 minutes ever, Chaprice. Give it a shot. Give it a shot.
Kids don't do drugs. Yeah, we're not promoting.
It's all jokes. It's steeped in sarcasm. Do not do that. Get that microphone just a little bit closer. You can move that thing all over the place. It won't make any noise.
Hello.
There you go.
Better?
You
okay,
go.
Cool.
So, Chaprice, tell me about yourself because I don't know much about you. I do know that you've worked with some great names here in Seattle, namely the one that you're working with right now, IG88,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, he's such a peach. I've had the privilege of working with a lot of artists in Seattle, mm-hmm. Mostly hip hop, which I love because I grew up on hip hop and you know, that's very much part of my culture. So I've had the experience of working with some really talented people, and it's kind of just opened a lot of different doors for me. And now I'm glad, you know, that I am working with IG88. And
how did you meet him?
Actually, Ian Imhoff. He's my manager.
Your manager. Yeah.
Xavier Management is
great
his company.
Dude.
He just started.
Great
He's
dude.
An amazing person. I was kind of
just started his own company, we should say.
Yes,
he branched off.
Yes, he did. I was wanting to make this album for a long time. I didn't know exactly the way to go about it because
did you have a lot of the material already written?
Yeah, I do a lot of dry writing, which is I just write poetry, you know, and then kind of form the music based off of that. Or if IG88 hands me something, I kind of, you know, go back to what I've written to see if it fits the mood of the song.
Sure, sure.
But at that point, I had nothing, and I knew what I wanted to create. I just didn't know who the right person to involve with it would be. And
okay.
I was telling Ian the sound that I wanted to go for, and he immediately was like, oh, you've got to meet Brandon. You got to meet IG88. So we met, and instantly the first time we met, I was like, okay, you're just as silly as I am, and you like pretty shit. So we're going to get along perfectly. And we got together, and our first song was Molting, which we have a promo video for. And I just knew off of that first song that we were going to make something awesome, because I was like, I can't believe this is our first song. This feels like me. It feels like us. So we continued on. And
that's great.
We've got an album.
Now, now the album's not out yet, though, right?
It's not.
When does that get released?
We're just tying up some loose ends right mm-hmm. now. And we want to make sure that we're pretty strategic about everything that we're doing.
Of course.
So I don't have a release date as of yet, but it definitely will be coming out before January.
And the songs that we're going to be playing today are going to be featured on that album. We just heard Tell Me, and then we're going to feature a couple other ones. I don't know if this one's going to be on it, but the one we're going to close out with today, Something About Us, the Daft Punk reprise.
Oh, yes.
That can't be on the album, right?
It can't,
no.
Unfortunately. I actually I released an EP in 2011 called Scatterbrain. And
I just tried to find that. I couldn't find anything anywhere.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things where you had to get it when it was out.
Really?
We kind of did a redirection of a lot of different things for this album. And although I love that album, it just wasn't cohesive to kind of the direction that I'm going in now.
Okay. So what would you say? Because I did hear little pieces of it because you had a couple promos that were up on like YouTube or something like that. Why take a different direction? I mean, now your stuff is a little bit more steeped in hip hop than it would be like R&B, I think,
well,
right?
Well, I think that it's really hard to pinpoint the sound that we've created on this album because I wouldn't really consider it hip hop. It's very nature inspired. Most of the production is made out of my vocal stems. So we kind of manipulated my voice and then made a beat out of it. And it has, I mean, I know this is a very overused word, but it has a very organic sound about it because it's very nature driven. It's kind of hard to say exactly what the sound of this album is. It's just really organic.
So would you say you feel more comfortable with the direction you're going now than you were in 2011 then?
Absolutely. That's part of the reason why I kind of wanted to take it down. Not that I didn't enjoy that body of work, but at that point, as an artist, I wasn't developed and I had no idea exactly what I was going for.
Sure.
And I'm a very well thought out person. I really think about what I say and what I do. And especially when you're releasing music, I feel like I want to share something that people can take away from what I'm saying. And I think that when I put Scatterbrain out, I just wanted to put it out to see what was going to happen. I didn't really have a plan behind it. I just kind of made a couple songs and I, you know, wanted
just by
to,
yourself, self-produced.
No, definitely not self-produced. Jay Battle. He's in a rap group, Grand Rapids. He produced Scatterbrain.
Gotcha.
And I love the album. I just didn't know what I was doing, really.
Yeah. So is that like you can't find that anywhere now?
You can't.
Is
find
it gone?
It. Nope, it's gone.
Oh man! Now I'm like super interested because I heard those, like I said before, a couple snippets of it, and so nothing of that exists anymore.
No.
Really? Like you don't even have a copy of it yourself?
I mean, of course I do. I will give it to you.
But, will you?
You can't show anyone.
is it one of those things that you're just like embarrassed to hear?
No, it's not even, it's not that. I think it's different when you finally figure out who you are as an artist. You just really want people to know that about you.
I get that.
And so that's what it is. It's not that I'm embarrassed because honestly, for someone's first project ever, I thought it was really, and I think that a lot of people felt like it was a really impressive body of work.
Sure.
But like I said, it didn't feel like me.
Yeah.
When I was performing the songs after a while, I just did not feel like myself on stage. And that's the big difference between that album and what we're putting out now. Every time that I perform any one of the songs off the album, I have a personal connection and I just feel like that's exactly what I was meant to say.
Sure.
So that's kind of why.
I like that.
Thank you.
I like that. Yeah. I think it's great. And I can't wait to hear the rest of what you've got coming out here. You're playing a Capitol Hill Block Party, right? Is going to be the next show that you're playing?
It is. I'm so excited because I've played Block Party so many times with other artists that I'm excited that I'm finally getting to have my own set.
Yeah. Have you kind of been so this is one thing because I recently just found out about you. And then we first met at the Do 206 launch party there. Our good friend Shelby Earl introduced us.
I love her. She's so
cute. Great. Yeah, she is fantastic. But were you or have you been kind of like a backup singer for a lot of other groups here in Seattle?
Yeah, I feel like most, especially like I said, in the hip hop community. So I worked with Soda. Okay. I worked with Fresh Espresso, Mad Rad when they were still a band.
Yeah.
Grinch, Saul. So I kind of have, I've made my rounds and I've kind of made these connections and
you go to Grinch's
me...
Album release last night?
I didn't. I'm so
Me neither. I'm so pissed that I didn't go.
I'm so bummed about it. I feel like such a horrible friend. Hi Grinch. I'm so sorry. I missed it. It was just one of those.
Well, it seemed like it was off the wall. Macklemore showed up.
Everyone
Saul was
there.
Prometheus Brown. Man.
The list goes on.
Yeah, I know.
I was kicking myself this morning when I woke up and I was like, why didn't I go to that? I was, it's been a crazy couple of weeks trying mm-hmm. to get this album together. And also sure. I work full time aside from doing music. So it's like going to work for 9 hours, coming home and then working yeah. more. So yeah. I just had a lot of stuff that I was dealing with yesterday and I couldn't get out of the house.
I just saw people posting pictures of it and I was just like, motherfucker.
I know. Me too. I was so pissed.
That's like the worst thing about Facebook and mm-hmm. social media.
It just rubs it in.
Yeah, it just rubs it in. Everything with everything. It's like, oh, you weren't here?
Yeah, too
I was.
Fucking bad. Guess yeah. what you get to deal with? All yeah. these awesome pictures
exactly.
all day long.
Yeah, don't you feel like shit yeah. because you weren't here?
Yeah.
You can swear on this, by the way, if you haven't figured that out.
I said fuck already. I just wanted to.
I didn't
on the record.
I didn't even notice.
Next time I'll like raise my hand so you
It was so pretty when it came out.
Just
it just
a dainty
like,
little
yeah.
fuck.
So tell me about yourself. Let's talk a little bit about you and how like singing came into being for you. So you grew up here in Seattle, right?
I did.
Born and raised. Whereabouts?
I grew up in Skyway, so I was in the hood.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You were even more in the hood than I was like last year.
Where were you last year again?
Well, it was Greenwood, but it was like a
yeah,
block
not,
off of Aurora.
That's not fucking with MLK.
No, that's true. I will say like my hood was more white crackheads.
Which is also just as...
Which we talked about already, but...
Just as hood. It's just it's a different kind.
It's like, you'd never expect to see white trash in the inner city, right?
It happens. It goes down.
Big time. Yeah, yeah. We lived like right across the street from the back side of one of those like motels.
Mm.
You know, I think this one was called
the No-Tell Motel. Yeah, those are always.
But it was like people actually lived there, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And like there was this one woman. I don't even know who she is. Never saw her face, but definitely heard her screaming. And calling people the C word and bitches and, you know, mother effers and stuff like that.
As like a daily event?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow.
Like during the summer, like it was a nightly
like she would
occurrence.
Just get hot and then she'd just lose her shit.
Right.
Like
I mean, people would just be hanging out in the parking lot, apparently having, you know, a lot of alcohol mm-hmm. and probably a lot of other things. And then she would come out and obviously be drunk already mm-hmm. and just start screaming at people. And so it was an interesting place to be because
she was using that as her outlet. And right. I commend her for getting those emotions out. She needed to
she just needed to vent.
She did. If just one person could listen to her.
I really wish I had that sentiment. I held that sentiment when I was living there because I'm sure. I would have been much more happy.
See,
yeah,
you gotta
yeah.
just understand what people are going through.
So Skyway, what was it like growing up in Skyway?
My street was really quiet. I am. Mm-hmm. I grew up next door to one of my best friends from childhood. His name was Kevin. I grew up next door to the same person for 20 years.
Uh-huh.
And, we would.
Parents still live there.
My mom still lives there.
Awesome.
His parents
awesome.
Still live there. So every once in a while, I'll see him. I'm like, oh my god, there's Kevin. But we would, you know, he would torture me and torment me because he was. Same age, so you know he would push me down.
And he probably had a crush on you.
And he
right?
had a crush on me, of course. I'm just like, yeah. Actually, we ended up going to prom together, and yeah. Anyways,
oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, no, but it was very innocent. It was we never dated or anything, but it was uh-huh. just it was one of those things where I literally grew up in the same house for my entire life. So
I love that. I love going back to my parents' house.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. We didn't grow up in the same house. We moved around in the same like small town over on the Kitsap Peninsula. But yeah, we, you know, same town. I love going home.
Mm-hmm. It's just
love going home.
Nostalgic. It's
yeah.
very, you know, all these memories.
Totally.
Yeah. I don't think I would be really, I'd be super sad if my mom decided to sell the house. I'd be like, oh, no more Langston Street. Like, oh damn. But yeah, born and raised.
So was it a very musical household?
Absolutely. Yeah. My dad was a musician. So.
Oh really?
Yeah.
What did he play or do?
Later in life, piano, but he played trumpet, drums, clarinet, you know,
oh,
he was kind of did everything.
Well-rounded.
Yeah, when he was younger, he did everything, but then he settled with piano.
So was he in a band or did that for a living?
Yeah, he worked at the post office as a day job, but he was always in a band. Even now, he's in bands and he, I was constantly around musicians. My dad always says, you've never seen a mic that you didn't like. Like, so I guess that means, I mean, there's pictures of me sitting on his lap while he's playing piano and I'm just like singing into a mic at the age of three.
Oh, that's great.
So I've always been kind of obsessed with music and I would, this is kind of embarrassing, but I'm going to tell myself, I would make my family sit down on the couch and I would like get this podium and stand behind it and do a whole concert. And sometimes I'd make them.
How old?
Like, I was probably like five. So I would just be like, okay, time to listen to me sing now. Everybody sit down. And
I love would do it. That. Oh and, my God. Yeah.
I would always try and con my sister into singing the background parts and like,
yeah.
Then we'd also, you know, we were just a very creative family. So we'd write plays and act them out for my parents. And
oh, that's fantastic. That makes me think of my daughter a little bit because she's starting to do that. She's three right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so she definitely like, we have a large movie collection for her, you know, all these Pixar movies and stuff. And her big one right now is Frozen. And she will she will just belt out those songs. See, you know this too, because you're a nanny for your day job.
Uh-huh.
Like, that song, holy shit.
I haven't actually seen it. The
really?
Yeah. The kid I watch is two.
Okay.
And
I haven't, so still a little bit young.
Still a little young. But what's funny about him is he is so musically inclined. And I'd like to pat myself on the back a little bit for that one. But
you sing to him?
I do. We actually play band every single day.
Oh,
he's completely obsessed with strings. So he has this violin and bow
that
we can't leave the house if he doesn't have it. Uh-huh. He can recognize when Bjork's playing. Like if a Bjork song comes on, he'll say Bjork.
Yeah.
Or like, I told him my radio was broken because my car, like my radio car stopped, or the radio in my car stopped working. And he was like, your Radiohead is broken. Because like I've told him about Radiohead. So he like, it's just really funny. Kids are such a sponge. So.
They really are, man. And my daughter can like recite that whole song now. She's only 3 years old. And so every time we watch it and it gets to the end or it gets to the part where that song mm-hmm. is sung, she will jump up and she'll do the little movements, you know, with her hand. It's like a ballerina, you know, and she'll swoop and twirl and do all the things, all the
and that's
movements.
Her moment.
And she'll just belt it out. And it's so funny, and it like, you know, it makes me cry a little bit because I'm just like, oh man, I hope you just are musically inclined. Like that's like what I want for my children, to have some sort of creative outlet, because I know I'm not going to be a good dad at teaching them how to play baseball, you know.
You're like, but hey, come listen to this vinyl with me. No,
yeah,
I'm totally
exactly.
I know exactly what you mean, but it really does, it starts that young, you know. If you you know, you have to nurture those things that you see in your kids at a young age, and it can really manifest into something amazing.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I guess I can say that I'm an example of that, because my dad was always a real big fan of me doing music.
Well, was he a singer too?
Yeah, he sings as well.
Yeah.
He definitely likes to be more on the production side of things.
Okay.
So he likes to write songs and,
like what kind of music does your dad play? Like, is it mostly, jazz, blues, rock?
Well,
he does
gospel. He works with a choir, but he is huge into funk and jazz. So those are his two.
Nice.
So even like when he's doing gospel music, it's not your traditional, you know, choir gospel. It's more like if Sly and the Family Stone were to make a church album. So it's kind of like he still has that element of funk in everything he does.
So did you grow up pretty religious then?
Yeah, I did. I grew up in a Christian household. Mm-hmm. I went to a private school. It was really small and I hated it a lot. Although I will say, so it was funny. I also have to thank my school for the fact that I'm so well-versed in like picking out harmonies and stuff like that, because I was in
a lot of gospel singing in class and stuff like that.
No, actually I was in a classical choir.
Oh, okay.
So we sang lots of songs in Latin and like just like definitely standard classic opera sort of style music.
So you were basically being groomed.
I kind of
from a very young age.
I was, and I didn't even know it, but thank God it happened. So yeah,
you're like Lauryn Hill in Sister Act.
Yeah, I know.
Or wait, was that Sister Act 2?
Sister Act 2.
Okay.
Don't get that confused.
Yeah. My wife would kill me if she knew that I said Sister Act 1.
No, there was nothing there's nothing exciting happening in the first one. Definitely a good choice for them to choose Lauryn Hill for that. But yeah, actually, Lauryn Hill was a big inspiration for me as well. I love The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. It's such an honest body of work, and that's kind of what I am inspired by any artist is like whenever I can feel that what you're saying is a personal thing that you've gone through, or just like, you know, you're not trying to sugarcoat it for the masses. And that's kind of what I felt like that album was like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big inspiration.
Do you try to do that as well with your own music?
Yeah. I just wear my heart on my sleeve no matter what. Like I'm really bad at hiding my emotions. So if I'm upset, you don't even really have to ask me. If I am, I'm just kind of like one of those people that I'm very expressive, I guess is the word. So that definitely crosses over into my music. I don't really know how to not write like that.
Yeah. Have you ever gotten emotional on stage?
Yeah, it's so embarrassing. Actually, I
tell
did.
Tell me about it.
I did. I guess the last time was when we performed at the Grammys party at the Lively Lounge.
Okay.
And that was our first performance as a band on this new album. So that wasn't that long ago, maybe like 6 months maybe.
Now who's in the band? What?
IG88, okay. Daniel Buteman, he plays violin, and Philip Peterson, he plays cello.
Philip's actually coming in studio next week.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
He's such a character.
I'm super excited to talk to him. Have you seen the movie that they made, Tennis Pro?
Yes.
It is so good.
Big in Japan. It's so good. We watched it at South By.
Oh, my God.
I was
blown away by it. Mm-hmm. Like, I was like, okay, how good is it? You know, truthfully, it's like, how good is this going to be? Mm-hmm. And then, like, the first scene that whole movie just, like, sets the tone
so well.
He's
so cute. Oh, so
oh, my God.
Chet is Phil's son. Chet and Robin. Yeah. His whole entire family is just amazing. But Chet is so cute.
It just had
the
me
first time I
up.
Ever
oh,
went over
God.
There, he was running Pro Tools. And he was like, my dad went to the store, so I'm going to run your session for you while he's away.
Shut
and I'm
up.
Like, you're 10. I wasn't doing anything like this while I was 10.
That is
I
so
was
funny.
Like, yeah, so God. His whole family is just really hilarious.
Oh, yeah. I can't wait to talk to him. But that's really cool. I mean, everybody that is playing with you live, like, that's not just studio people,
mm-mm.
right? They're going to be with you
They're
for
with
the long
me.
Haul
mm-hmm.
here.
For the
that's
long
really
haul.
Cool.
They've been so patient. I've been pretty particular.
Because you're like super
you know?
Hard to work with, right?
Yeah, I'm just a total diva. I'm
diva.
Like, you know what? Where are my brown M&Ms? Like that whole thing. No, I'm not. I don't like that sort of behavior at all. But no, they just, they've been patient because I'm being pretty particular. Like I really want to make sure that, you know, this is my first full album and I just have such high hopes for it that I want to make sure that all, you know, all the elements are in place.
Yeah.
But they have been phenomenal because I didn't even know going into it that they would end up fitting so well. But the first track that Brandon and I played them, they just both picked up their instruments and just played the rest of the song.
Went for it, yeah.
I never even had to tell them where it was supposed to go and they just knew. So right then and there, it was such a natural connection between all of us. And that's how I roll.
That's fantastic.
I like working with people that, you know, I don't like forcing a situation. Like,
you
know, if you're a part of it, it's because we share the same idea and have the same goals. And it just kind of works.
Well, that's a really special thing because not everybody can say that, like, you know, when you get a group of people together to play music, like, it all of a sudden clicks.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes it takes a long, like years for stuff to really click and people to get, you know, what you're doing and where you want to go. So that's a big thing.
Absolutely. And that was part of the reason too, why, I took so much time off after I put out that Scatterbrain EP. The musicians I were working with were very seasoned. Technically they knew what they were doing. Like it was always a good show, but I felt like they were a bit older. I actually asked my dad to form my first band. So, you know, there are lots of like really seasoned funk musicians. And I don't.
How old were you at that point?
I was 24.
Okay.
Yeah. Around there. Like mid 20s. Are you asking? You want to know how old I am right now?
No. You don't have
You're
to
like,
say.
Let me do the math. I don't feel like they knew exactly where I was going as an artist.
Yeah,
so that's part of the reason too, why I was like, okay, I really need to
Well, these are like session guys too, though.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, they were session guys, and yeah. I don't have anything against that at all. You know, people have to make a living, and also it keeps you busy. You know, when you're able to just be a gun for hire sort of mercenary type musician, and I think that's amazing. But I just knew that what I wanted to release was going to be such a personal project. I just wanted to make sure that everyone that was involved really understood where it was going, and that it wasn't just, hey, we're meeting up this week, I won't see you for 6 months until there's another show or whatever. Right. Like,
well, do you think like using, and I've never been in this situation at all, but like using a session, using a group of session guys, for lack of a better term, there may be some women in there too.
Of course.
Of course. Guys, the proverbial, the people.
Right.
How's that?
That's
that
PC.
Better word?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
that
good,
works.
Good. But using session people, like they're coming into a situation where they need direction, right? They may be good enough to like pick up and like do whatever, you know, put a drum fill in here where they feel the need. It, you know, it sounds like it needs to go there. But for the most part, a session person is going to like be like, okay, tell me what to do, right?
Yeah, and that's also why I feel so. It's great to have people like Philip and Daniel who I don't need. I've never had to tell them, you know, this is where the song needs to go. This is where I feel like the song needs to go. It'll be a situation where Brandon and I, we usually start the song between the two of us. So Brandon and I will have created sort of the foundation of the song, and we'll send it over to Phil and Daniel. And by the time they send it back, I'm just like, yep.
That's it. You guys nailed it.
Nailed it again for the 13th time in a row. So it's.
Now, is this all done, like, do you guys all meet up in studio, or you used a term there, like, you send it off to like, Phil or somebody, and he can take a listen to it, it's, like, over email, and he's in his own studio, and then just does it from there?
Yeah, we're usually working multiple studios at once when we're, like, you know, finishing up a song.
Sure.
But for the most part, the formula has sort of been that Brandon and I will get together for the initial start of the song. And I'll put the vocals down, and then we kind of send it over to Phil, or we'll go to Phil's house.
Yeah,
and, you know, just in some way they get it. And,
right on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
It happens different ways. We don't really have one specific way we go about it, but that's for the most part. That's kind of how.
Right. Right. Well, let's hear one of the finished products here. This song is called "Her Song." It's off of the full length that is yet to be released. By Chaprice here joining us in the backyard. And we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Stay with us, everybody.
Been wanting me, but he couldn't imagine his life alone. And a kiss from his lover when he gets home is the sweetest form of simplicity he has known. So where did he go wrong? Her love is tangled in his soul. Self-sabotaging her song for you. Why won't you let it play? Such a beautiful melody interrupted by the rain. Self-sabotaging her song for you. Such a beautiful melody interrupted by the rain. She didn't mind his ways of loving. Often turned a blind eye to the things she needed. Anticipating claims of change. Maybe today he saw the look upon her face and nothing to say. The bitter taste of loving lost. This time he knew we wasted. Oh, 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 oh. Self-sabotaging her song for you. Why won't you let it play? Such a beautiful melody interrupted by the rain. Self-sabotaging song for you. Why won't you let it play? Such a beautiful melody interrupted by the rain. Such a beautiful melody.
doing that.
Welcome back, everybody. That was her song off of Chaprice's yet-to-be-released full-length album, which we can expect sometime in the next year, right?
Sooner than this year? This year,
okay,
for sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
At least we can pull that
because
out of
I don't know if I can hold it in for very much longer. I'm ready for this baby to be born already.
There you go. Well, let's get back. I want to get back to the subject where you were in private school,
mm-hmm.
going to a private Christian school.
That's correct.
Are you still a practicing Christian?
I am, but I'm not religious. I feel like there's a difference.
Sure, yeah.
I think that a lot of Christians try and impose their beliefs on other people, and instead, I think the concept of Christianity is more of a lifestyle choice than anything else. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if you were to even follow the practices of Jesus Christ, you would see that he was the most non-judgmental person. You know, and so I think that a lot of people confuse religion with Christianity, and I definitely don't like to beat people up with my beliefs. But if it comes up, you know, I definitely don't mind having a conversation about it, but I'm not going to be pointing the finger and condemning other people for what I feel might not be the right choice for my life. That's your personal.
Well, a lot of people confuse it too as like religion as rule of law,
mm-hmm.
too, which is, I think is where everything kind of gets discombobulated, mm-hmm. a little bit, right? So yeah, you're not only condemning somebody because of their sin, you're also condemning them because they're not doing what you think is right.
Exactly. You know? And I think that that's more of a controlling mechanism than anything else.
Sure.
I just think that people feel comfortable with themselves more when they feel like someone else is doing worse off than them.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I think that a lot of people use that as some sort of way of manipulating other people. But I have faith in Christianity and all that, but I'm not going to make anyone else feel like shit for not believing what I believe in.
And you're not going to wake up early on a Sunday.
I'm going to go to brunch at 11. I'm going to go to Bedside Baptist.
There you go. Watch it on TV.
I have a personal relationship and I know what that entails. And I know what I believe. I don't feel the need to make anyone feel a certain way because they don't believe what I believe. I don't think that's what the point of it is supposed to be. And I think that a lot of people, like I said, they like to manipulate other people and they use religion as an excuse to do that. And I don't believe in that.
Yeah. When did you come to that realization? Was that like a, you know, and pardon the pun, a coming to God moment for you?
I think I've always felt that way because even though I was raised in a Christian household, my mm-hmm. parents never even forced it on me that way.
Okay.
I think they just kind of led their lives by example, and I could pick and choose what I, you know,
yeah,
what I learned a lot from them. I learned a lot of things that I didn't want to do, and I learned a lot of things that I felt like I believed in as well. And I think I just had to come to my own conclusion on it because I was raised in a Christian home, and I went to a private school, so I saw a lot of hypocrisy in the church and in school and everything. And I was like, I believe in the basic concept of what's being taught here, but I don't believe in the way that you guys are going about it.
Sure.
So I had to make a decision, you know, how I would like to live my life as a Christian, and that's kind of, you know, where I'm at with it.
Yeah.
And I think it's weird when people only surround themselves with people that believe what they believe, because I think that's a very closed-minded way of living your life. You can't learn anything if you're only around someone that does exactly what you do.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you'll look at my friends and you'll see people from every culture, religion, race, everything. And That's how I get down.
Well, that's a huge, I feel like you hit on something there. Like that's a huge problem right now. Is like that people don't get out of their own space, mm-hmm. right? And so I had this conversation with a guy at my work, at my day job, who is from, I want to say Alabama. But he has never traveled outside the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has a very closed-minded view. And I'm not saying everybody does, right? But his his view is atypical of somebody who has never traveled outside of his comfort zone, mm-hmm. right? And so his political views and his religious views are steeped in that community, you know, that he grew up and was born and raised and you know, never left.
Right.
Right? And so, like, whenever, and I hate getting into political or religious conversations at work, they are the worst.
It gets gnarly.
it is the worst.
I mean, wars are started over these sort of things, right?
Oh, my God, yeah, that's totally, it's just happening on a smaller scale.
Yeah, it's like, really, are we going to shoot each other at the end of this? I don't know where this is going. Hold on. Let's just go get a cupcake and calm down.
Yeah. Well, it is definitely gotten to that point a couple times, and like I said, I don't like getting involved in that, but I'm like in this cubicle, one cubicle over, and these guys are all having this conversation. I stood up at one point, and I think it was the conversation was surrounding like how many people don't like our current president, President Obama, compared to how many people loved and fawned over, you know, President George Bush. Mm-hmm. But at the time George Bush was in office, this guy lived in Alabama, right? So it was like, well, yeah, the rest of the world didn't really share your view and your love for that president. And like, you know, these other guys are saying that. And so finally I stood up and I was like, dude, no. Like, I was traveling in South America at the time George Bush was president. And people, we had to tell people we were from Canada. We could not say that we were from the U.S.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was kind of dangerous.
It was, it was hot around that time.
Yeah, and people did not like us, mm-hmm. you know? And, like, and he was not having it, man. He was like, no, you travel there now, and people just, like, will skin you alive because they hate President Obama. It's like, no, not really.
It's not definitely really. A different situation. Yeah. I don't think anyone is as hostile towards Obama as they were Bush. Sure.
But that's just, and you know, yeah.
Well, people, I don't know. I think people really, especially when you make the choice to not expand beyond your surroundings and what you grew up believing, you know, I think it's more fear than anything else.
I think that people
just kind of get comfortable and they're afraid that one day they're going to have some revelation that just changes the way they've thought about everything for 35 years. And that thought is exhausting. So they'd rather just continue. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a lot less effort.
Yeah. And I would say that I'm probably the same way, like, but on the liberal side of things.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
like, same.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't even want to know what, I don't even care.
Don't challenge my views. All right. Yeah.
What I say is right. Okay. Let's just end it there. Yeah.
So it sounds like your parents were of the thought like that sending you to a private Christian school was more of like, it's a good school rather than you're going to get some good religious learning.
Yeah. I think that it was more of, it's funny. I actually ended up transferring to a public school later for my last year of schooling.
Was that by choice?
Yeah, it was by choice.
Yeah.
I did. I also thought, you know, if I ever end up having kids, I kind of have the idea of I would like them to be in a private school for just elementary and mm-hmm. then transfer to public junior high. Because I'd like to have that what I did learn was just a lot of respect. Like, everyone was really respectful there. And so that's kind of something that I think came along with structure. Sometimes you don't get that in public school. And
right. Did you have to wear like uniforms and everything like that too?
Yeah, but I was a weirdo because I liked wearing plaid pleated skirts. But it's funny because I pulled a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air on them because like in the manual it says you have to wear a blue and green pleated skirt. And so everyone went to the uniform store and went and bought the same skirt.
Got the same one. Yeah,
I went to several different stores and like found what technically it said. And so then mine was just like, you know, how Will Smith flipped his jacket inside out. And it had like all that paisley and stuff. So I kind of like had my Fresh Prince moment at my private school as well.
You were like the punk kid.
I was. Yeah. You can tell me shit.
Except with no safety pins all over your jacket.
No, I didn't. I didn't have that dark time, thankfully.
So when did you like make the leap from being a high school student to like being a singer?
it kind of always went hand in hand because our school sucked at sports. So our like our golden child was the choir.
Really?
And, okay. Yeah, it was. We would tour. We won awards. And I still keep in contact with some of the people. I actually have one friend that I was in choir with that I'm going to have sing with me.
Oh, cool.
At block party.
Awesome.
So there's, you know, and then I see a lot of different people. Like one girl I went to school with was just on The Voice, and then others were like on American Idol. And so everyone was very, very musically inclined at my school. So it kind of, I don't remember a time that music wasn't on the forefront of what I did as far as like an activity.
Okay.
And I have to say, I think that if I would have grown up anywhere else, it may not have been that way. But I think that Seattle, just the culture here was very artistic, even in like a private school or everywhere I went, I just kind of always saw art, like visual art or music. And maybe it's because it rained all the time and we couldn't really play outside.
Well, that's what I was going to say. And that's like most everybody's like thought on it is like, well, you're stuck inside. Yeah, so what else are you going to do?
You're going to pick up an instrument or you know, paintbrush and go to town. So that's what my theory on why we have so many creative people here.
Sure. Sure. Yeah.
So it's always been there. It's always,
What was the experience like getting up on stage solo your first time?
I never get stage fright, so I just felt very at home.
You're that person?
I am. I feel, you know what it's like for me? It's like when you are on a high dive, like a diving board.
Yeah.
And like, I have that initial, you know, just like an instance of a flutter, and that's pretty much it. And then it just feels like diving into cold water. It's very refreshing to be on stage.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That's exactly what it feels like.
That's insane. I would have never guessed that.
That's how it feels for me.
That's pretty
it's
great.
It's really invigorating. It's just kind of like, then I don't know. I always just felt like.
There was never any stage fright. Like
no,
even when you started in like in choir or anything like that, you never had any like.
No.
Anxiety
I was always
over.
The first person to raise my hand whenever there was a solo.
Ooh, I'll do it.
Yeah, I was like, I want to do this forever. And so every time it would be like, oh, Shaprice is singing that song again. So like, I don't know. I always felt really comfortable on stage. And it's funny because I can be sort of socially awkward when I'm out in public. Like sometimes I get kind of like weirded out by, you know, parties and stuff like that. But it's weird. It's like, I just don't feel like that. I could be singing in front of 10,000 people and I'll just feel like I know each person and I have like this personal thing with them. And
oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
man.
The
last time, God, I do some hosting stuff sometimes. Right. And I was hosting that, the karaoke portion of the Duo 206 thing. I wasn't nervous for that, but then like a week later I was hosting this thing for Comic-Con. This thing called Crackle Fest where a bunch of nerd bands get together and stuff.
Oh, cool.
And I was totally like, I do it every year. And it was, you know, in front of a crowd of like 500 people at Hard Rock Cafe. And I totally wasn't nervous for it. And I was just like, I'm ready. You know, I didn't have anything like any jokes prepared because last year when I did that, it fell totally flat.
Yeah, you can't.
In front of a frickin' sold out crowd of like 500 people. And there was one drunk dude laughing in the front.
Oh,
you know,
that
and so
guy.
I was just like, oh, OK, not doing that again.
Mm.
But so I was totally comfortable with it this year. And I got up there. And as soon as I put my foot onto stage, I started shaking like uncontrollably. And I was like, fuck.
Like, I thought we were
this was the year I was totally prepared and just didn't have to do anything like, you know, memorization wise.
Mm-hmm.
And now this happens. So then I like when I got off stage, I instantly took a beta blocker, you know. Have you ever had to? You'd never had to take beta blockers.
What is that?
It's a drug that like slows down your heart rate so you don't get stage fright. And I used to take them in college too when I would have to do like presentations and things like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did it help?
Totally. Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah. And you get drunk real quick if you're taking those.
Even better.
Yeah. One whiskey and you're great.
That sounds Let's talk about that after the show.
I got some left over. Oh, yes, sell them to you.
Send
them
over.
Along with that crack pipe I found in my bushes.
Hey, I told you. That's going to be your experience. I'm going to live vicariously through you on that one. But I can't wait to hear how that turns out for you. Hosting is different, though. I've hosted one event, and I was like, I will never do this again.
What was the event?
I can't believe it. It was an AIDS event at the Nectar, maybe 2 years back.
Okay.
And I hosted it with Wisdom. He's a rapper from Seattle. And I was just like shaking so much. It's like everyone's looking at me and I'm just talking. It would be so much easier.
Yeah, there's no music.
Just,
there's no music it's just, playing. It's just you and your voice up there.
Yeah. And it's very just everyone's just staring at you like, okay, what are you going to say next? So, yeah, hosting, I don't think I could do that. That's definitely a talent for someone else. But I'll sing to you all day long and not feel nervous about it.
Yeah, totally. are your parents pretty proud of like where you're going and where you've been so far?
Yeah.
They've got to be, right?
They're ecstatic.
Yeah. They ever come to your shows?
They do.
That's got to be nerve-wracking, right?
My mom, you'll have to meet my mom sometime. She's the most bright person ever. She just kicks it.
Yeah.
Me and my mom kick it. So yeah, it's all love. Like my sister sometimes sings background vocals.
Oh, really?
Me. Yeah. She, actually her, and my dad were in the band when I was doing Scatterbrain.
Oh, okay.
So it's just always been a family affair. They're super proud of me.
Oh, wow.
Vice versa. So yeah, you'll see them in the front row and
just jamming out, just singing along with you.
My mom loves this new sound a lot. She's like, I just feel like it's opened my senses or something. I don't know. I could just listen to this all day. It's so relaxing. And I was like, oh.
And have they heard that? Have they heard the full album too? I'm sure you've shared that with your family, right?
No.
What?
There aren't very many people who have heard it aside from the team that I'm working
with.
Yeah,
yeah. That's insane.
I'm being really private about it. I just kind of want to... I don't know.
That's like too private.
I know, is it?
It's your family.
Well, I think that they know because also like it's in the, at the point which they were asking me every day for it was like, well, these are just kind of really, really rough and I would rather show it to you when it's all done.
Yeah, yeah.
Because creating a new, like I would like to say that we're creating a new sound. It's kind of hard for people to wrap their head around off of first listen sometimes, I think. And so at the very beginning stages, I wasn't showing anyone. Because I was like, this is a concept of a song right now. And
okay,
it has to be
okay.
built into like what I'm visualizing for the song. So if you were to hear it right now, it wouldn't make any sense. So now we put the rest of the puzzle together and it came out quite nicely. So yeah, they've heard most of it. But I think they're just like they just like want to wait. I think they want it to be a surprise to them as well.
Oh, okay,
and so they kind
okay.
of just like... Show us when it's finished.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Show and tell.
So it is like having a baby. Right?
Yeah, it is like
you called it your baby earlier. That's
baby.
What I was
yeah.
referring to. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I thought you said... Never mind, I'm not going to tell you what
Shaprice
I said.
Is pregnant, by the way. No.
That's how rumors get started. That is not a real life situation. Please don't believe that.
We'll just cut that out. That's fine.
No, we can leave it in. I like a good scandal.
There you go.
No,
there
but it
go.
Is. It is like having... a baby in a sense, because it's a passion project. There's a lot that goes into it. And
yeah.
so, we're being really careful with everything and yeah, it's my
well,
baby.
Cool. I did want to ask you one more thing, before we start wrapping things up here. I watched this, this documentary, I think it's called 20 Feet from Stardom a little bit ago. Have you seen that?
I haven't. I know all about it though. I
oh
haven't
my God,
even
it's
seen
so,
it yet.
It's so good. But you said that you had like done like background vocals and backup singer things for people around town and stuff. Was that ever a fear of yours, like getting stuck in like being the background singer?
I wouldn't say that it was a fear, but
yeah.
I started realizing
that
that's
radar.
Kind of what was happening.
Right?
And so for
okay.
right now, I'm not doing any more features because I
oh,
want to
really?
Make sure
okay.
that I put... Well, let me actually... go back on that. I wouldn't say I'm not doing any features. I'm just kind of doing things that are more in the vein of what I'm doing.
Sure, sure.
But no, because I don't think I ever used that as my project. Like I
yeah.
kind of just, and I also didn't feature on things that I wasn't connected to or that I didn't feel like, I didn't just do it just to do it. I did it because I liked the song or, there's a connection between me and the artist. So I was pretty careful about who I decided to work with.
Yeah.
And, Yeah, no, I am, but I did kind of put that sort of thing on the back burner because I wanted to focus on my sound and just really putting my best foot forward with this project. So I kind of just stopped doing that for a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you should check out that documentary. I think it's still on Netflix.
Oh, cool.
Streaming too. So it's, you know, if you have that, you can, you can just punch it up.
All my buds are in it. So yeah, I can't believe I'm such a bad friend. I'm sorry, guys.
You got friends in that movie?
Yeah, isn't that the... Are we going to have to edit this out?
No. Why?
Because I don't know if we're talking about the same movie now.
Well, it's about these like these background singers in like... I think most of them are in L.A. And they used to like sing background for like the Rolling Stones and for like big bands. What did you think we were talking about?
Nothing. Can we not put that in there?
This was not an adult film. You're thinking of the adult film? Oh, okay. Yeah.
No, I was thinking about the documentary that came out about Seattle hip hop.
Oh, no.
What is that called?
Oh, I have no idea.
See, let's not.
I don't know what that one's called. But now like I want to see that too.
In it and like Shabazz Palace and Fresh Espresso.
Oh, right? I know it. Okay. What is that called? I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is.
Sorry.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Yeah. We'll cut all this. This is all getting cut out. God. Whole second half of the show is just in the crapper. No, but you should really check it out because it's super interesting, and it was very interesting to watch too because there were a lot of these women that were doing these background vocals for people like the Rolling Stones and going on tour with them and things like that, and never really hitting it big on their own. Mm-hmm. Like some of them would branch off and try to do their own albums and things like that, but it would never result in anything because they were stuck
in this hole of
being a background singer and a session singer.
Yeah.
You know?
And, I think you got to go about it the right way. Cause I mean, look at John Legend. He did all of Alicia Keys' backgrounds. And like, if you listen to her albums really closely, you'll be like, oh, that is John Legend's voice that's in there, you know? And so I think that you got to just stick with doing things that make sense, and then also realize that if you don't make a move on your own project, that that's what's going to happen. So that's kind of where I was at with it. It's like, okay, well, I could continue singing on other people's music, and like I said, I've performed at Block Party and I performed at Sasquatch and I've done all these things, and it's like, but it was never for my own stuff. So I just wanted to make sure that I took charge of what I was doing.
So
now it's starting, the ball is rolling.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited for you. I'm really excited for you. The two songs that are out now, Tell Me and Her Song, which you've heard on this show, are available to listen to on your website, chaprice.com. And you can go to like the SoundCloud page and check those out too, right? Let's plug your wares here. Where else can we find out about Chaprice and what's going on?
You can like my music page on Facebook. And if you just type in Chaprice, it's not really hard to find me.
Yeah. Only one Chaprice.
There's not very many people that have that name. So thanks Mom and Dad for that. I appreciate it. I pretty much just there. Chaprice.com.
You on SoundCloud. Twitter?
I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram, and it's all at Chaprice.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you once again for coming in. This has been an absolute delight.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. This was a lot of fun. We're going to go out today with the song Something About Us, which is a Daft Punk song, which you sang over. How did this one come about?
Oh, man. Actually, I was kind of pissed at my boyfriend one night years and years ago. And I'm the kind of person that really communicates well through song.
Okay.
So I kind of just was listening to Daft Punk and I came across Something About Us and I was like, I'm going to write you a letter in the form of a song.
Oh, and wow.
So I did. And I asked Jay and I was like, can we record this in the kitchen? And because it was like really reverby. And so I just like sat on the kitchen countertop and sang the song and recorded it.
Oh, wow. Wow. So we're getting a little insight into your relationship with your boyfriend.
Let's not let us another segment.
Do you want to cut that out too?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, okay. This is going to be like a 15-minute long episode. Jesus. Well, thank you so much, Chaprice. One thing before we go, remember, people, we're still doing this giveaway. We were supposed to have Childish Gambino on the show, and then that actually fell through. But what they did is they sent us a bunch of these download cards for the album Because the Internet. So we have all these download cards. And so what we're going to do, we're doing this giveaway, super simple. Like the Facebook page, the Air Raid Facebook page, or follow us on Twitter And we will pick out a whole bunch of people to receive this free download of the full album, Because the Internet by Childish Gambino. And don't forget, let's see, we'll pick the winners at random on May 10th, because that is the date of the Paramount show that Childish Gambino will be at here in Seattle. This is not only for Seattle listeners, so the listeners in Japan and Germany and everywhere else around the world and around the United States can participate in this. Just like the Facebook page, Air Raid Net, or air-raid.net, and then at Air Raid Net on Twitter. And you've entered yourself to win. So there you go. Shaprice, thank you again.
Thank you.
So much fun. This is Something About Us, the Daft Punk reprise. With Shaprice singing a note to her.
A note of sorts.
To her
we'll
boyfriend.
We'll leave it at that.
Oh, thank you so much, everybody, for listening. Hey, big episode coming up next week. One of my favorite bands of all time, Fu Manchu, going to be joining us on the Air Raid podcast, so don't miss that. All right, we'll be back next week. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good one.
Something about us I want to say, 'cause there's something between us anyway. I might not be the right one, it might not be the right time, but there's something about us I've got to do. Some kind of secret I will share with you.